leaning on the Beloved. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her Beloved? The Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 5. The elect bride, the church, is here very anxious that her communion and companionship with her Beloved be not disturbed. She says, therefore, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. She is a little apprehensive about the dangers of any interruption, as she has more than once lost his sensible presence before this. And now we come to a verse which indicates that such communion and companionship are intimately linked with her spiritual progress. To keep in close fellowship with him is the one thing needful, and therefore that one thing must be guarded at any cost. There is no communion unless there is intimate union. The member of the body can draw nothing from the head unless united to the head. The branch can draw no life from the sap, from the root, unless it is united to the root. And it seems as though we can draw nothing from our Lord unless we are closely linked with him and walk in intimate fellowship with him. It is union which produces communion. Now, these are the words, evidently, of the daughters of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem were lookers on. They seem to have a good deal of spiritual truth. They seem to be in sympathy with the bride, but they are not a people in the same relation to Christ as the bride. And these words were occasioned by her charge to them, by which they were excited to look more earnestly at her, at which they expressed their surprise when they say, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her Beloved? They are amazed at this company of people that are known as his bride, and which company is leaning upon him. Now notice the title given him, her Beloved. This is spoken by the daughters of Jerusalem. It matters not who these daughters of Jerusalem are, or who they represent. They certainly are not in the same relationship. But they also do recognize that there is a love union between Christ and his people. He is the Father's Beloved, as the Father thrice opened the windows of heaven and declared it, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But he is also the beloved of that great company, gathered from all nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues, whom he has redeemed, and who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But the words may be the words of the Lord Jesus himself, spoken by way of admiration, something akin to, there is none on earth like this bride. If so, then it is an ejaculation on his part, as he admires the faith which has brought her so near. But I am inclined to believe that the daughters of Jerusalem are asking this question in astonishment at their sight of the bride. Now, Notice her posture towards him, leaning on the Beloved. He is her support. She leans not upon some church structure or the outward performance of religious rites, but upon the Beloved himself. Winston Churchill once said that he was like the buttress of a church building. He supported it from the outside. Well, that was rather witty, but it is hardly commendable. The bride leans upon the Beloved. This implies nearness to him and also some familiarity. It has a sense of cleaving unto him to go whithersoever he would go. As Ruth said to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go. The posture also implies a certain delight in him as she rests fully on him. The words also imply a strengthening of herself, realizing that in herself she is weak. He is her strength, as well as her safety and security. She's not leaning upon any one part of him, such as his arm, but upon his whole person. I think this expresses her faith in him whom she loves, and who loves her. This is the grace by which believers lean on the person of Christ for acceptance with God, and lean upon his righteousness for justification, lean upon his fullness for the supply of their needs, and trust in his blood for pardon and for cleansing. She must lean upon her Beloved. Now, as I have indicated, the word leaning may also be translated casting herself, as committing the keeping and care of herself to him, and trusting him for a complete and whole deliverance from this wilderness. The word leaning may also be translated joining herself to him, cleaving to him, keeping close company with him, cleaving to him with purpose of heart. It may also be translated strengthening herself on him, deriving all her strength from him, being conscious of her own weakness. Wonderful word, leaning on her Beloved. You can almost visualize it. Then we notice the place of retreat. She is coming up, leaning upon her Beloved, and she is coming up from the wilderness. Now, from God's viewpoint, this world is a wilderness. When God redeemed Israel from the house of bondage in Egypt, he brought them into a wilderness to teach them that this world has not a single thing which can feed the new life in redemption. It must be fed from above, as Israel was in the wilderness after their deliverance from Egypt. This world is naught but a barren desert, a waste, howling wilderness. Note then that the bride comes up from this wilderness. Hers is an ascending pilgrimage. There is a forgetting of former things, as Paul would say, forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark. Bride and bridegroom march on together through a wilderness which has many dangers, wild beasts, poisonous serpents, howling wolves. The Lord is master of all such creatures, so that his bride snuggles up to him keeps herself close to him. This gives her a sense of his protecting care. Now notice the assertion he makes. I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Now this may refer to her state before conversion. Often our Lord reminds us of this to keep us humble and to prevent pride rising in our soul. We were dead in sin, and it was Christ, our beloved Saviour, who alone raised us up. You remember in chapter 2 and verse 1, or verse 3 is it, she says, she likens her bridegroom lover to an apple tree. And under that apple tree, she found the two things that her heart was longing for. She needed to feed unto satisfaction, and she needed rest for her soul. She found them both under the apple tree. She said, his fruit was sweet to my taste. And she sat down under that apple tree. You see, she found both rest in sitting down, and she found fruit at hand which satisfied her. Now the whole work of Christ is really a resurrection work wrought by him who is the resurrection and the life. You remember at his call Lazarus came forth from the tomb as a type of all who receive new life from him. Only the Lord can raise from the dead, and it demonstrates his great love for us that he does this. As was said of Lazarus, behold how he loved it. Sitting under the apple tree may also mean sitting under the truths of the gospel. That tree laden with so much precious fruit. Says he, thy mother brought thee forth, which has reference to the church, which from the beginning has always been in travail to bring forth children. The whole history of the church is one of pain, as of a woman with child. By professing him, by preaching his gospel, by suffering on his behalf. All who are the Lord have come to be so through the travail of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. The church travails because of the travail of the Spirit who dwells within her. And nothing is brought forth without travail. That is a law in Scripture. Oh, how precious it is to be in such intimate fellowship, to be so near the Lord Jesus, so accepted of him. It is the more amazing when we remember that we were once named outcasts, but now Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. Once we were as Hannah, a woman of a sorrowful spirit, or like Rahab, dwelling in a doomed city, or like Ruth, an idolatress in a heathen world. But wonder of wonder, now the bride of God's well-beloved one. What a change. What a blessing. Oh, what wondrous grace. Now hear the words of Mrs. Horatius Bonner, for she too could write a good hymn to the glory of her Lord. Listen, fade, fade each earthly joy, Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie, Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness, earth has no resting place, Jesus alone can bless, Jesus is mine. Tempt not my soul away, Jesus is mine. Here would I ever stay. Jesus is mine. Perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, pass from my heart away. Jesus is mine. Farewell ye dreams of night. Jesus is mine. Mine is a dawning bright. Jesus is mine. All that my soul had tried left but a dismal void. Jesus has satisfied. Jesus is mine. Farewell, mortality. Jesus is mine. Welcome, eternity. Jesus is mine. Welcome, O loved and blessed. Welcome, sweet scenes of rest. Welcome, my Savior's breath. Jesus is mine. Beautiful words. Amen. And amen.